always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Yeah, like, I'm not damning this thing to like, that it's not, it definitely isn't going to work out. Like, sometimes people are just talented enough that they rise beyond the things that are dragging them down, right? The ropes that bind. Right, like Peyton Manning was still able to win a Super Bowl in Indianapolis, despite that entire organization just being an absolute disaster. But
Steph Curry overcame Joe Lacob to win that 2022 title. You know, he overcame the two timelines to get it done.
Exactly. So I don't know. I've been kind of hesitant to kind of say this on the air, but a source of rampant speculation around the league is that the Lakers didn't go to, like, they weren't put to the open market. They weren't put on the open market. One of the reasons that people are kind of wondering about is, you know, because we have this 3 to 5 year window where Jeannie and her people get to continue running the team. And Jeannie, you know, could have, in this hypothetical that there are a lot of people who kind of wonder about this stuff. Jeannie could have, you know, basically said, look, if we agree to a respectable enough number, a high enough number, I'll sell directly to you, Mark Walter, without putting the team on the market, and thus, you know, costing myself potential money.
Well, he had the right of first refusal, right? I mean, he could have matched any other. That's part of the reason, too, is that he had, like, in their contract that if the team did go on the open market, he still had the right to buy it and match whatever the other offers were.
Right, but the offer could have gone up if it hit the open market. So, like, the thinking that's out there is that the Lakers, or that Jeannie Buss basically said to Mark Walter, we'll skip that whole process and I will forego any potential better offers that we could possibly get here on the Lakers. And now, like, there are other reasons potentially for doing it, right? Like, you know, when you sell the Lakers and when it's such an important part of your family's history and stuff like that, you just want to make it as clean a process as possible. Like, there's plenty of other reasons that this could have possibly been the case. But one of the sources of speculation out there is that, like, one of the pitches that Mark Walter could have made is, what if you and your people get to keep running the thing for 3 to 5-ish years or so?
Yeah.
And maybe that pushes it over the finish line.
Yeah.
And there's this sense again, like when this kind of backs up this theory, there's this sense out there with the people who would otherwise be looked at for these positions, that people are just kind of waiting this out.
Yeah.
Waiting that window out. And I'm not saying that this is definitely what's going on. I'm not saying that this is definitely not going on. I'm just saying that this is a thing that a lot of people around the league are kind of speculating about. And there's this hesitancy to work with Rob Pelinka because he's not very trustworthy. But there's also this hesitancy to work with Rob Pelinka because someday, you know, Mark Walter and his people will fully take over. And who knows what the Lakers will eventually look like when that time comes. And do you want to be considered a part of the previous regime when that time comes? And I think there are, like, it's fair to wonder about that stuff.
Well, the first part of that with Jeannie, it seems pretty clear that that's what happened based on, like, the Baxter reporting, based on just, like, logic and, you know, like, you know, just everything that's gone on around this. It seems, like, pretty obvious that that is exactly the handshake deal that they had. Yeah. And that, like, kept the process, like, a little bit tighter, or something along those lines. And then the second part just sort of logically follows from that. Like, I don't need people to speculate about that around the league because it seems, you know, if you just think about it, obviously that's what people would be thinking, you know, based on sort of the fact that if the first thing is true and like they sort of get their 3 to 5 years running the team, you know, again, if you're Steve Senior, who I'd never heard of before this process, but we'll just use him as an example. If you're Steve Senior and you're with the Minnesota Timberwolves, like,
you think Steve Senior has a kid also named Steve?
I made this exact joke on Twitter when the news came out.
I really hope he does.
Yeah. Well, I think that they need to hire Steve Senior and Steve Senior Jr. as the junior vice president of senior Lakers affairs. You know,
does Steve Senior in that case go by Steve Senior Senior?
I think he has to. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like,
no, he probably, like, you know, they're based in Minnesota, right? So they probably have some, like, you know, like, they probably call him like Big Steve or something. You know, he's like, just call me Big Steve. And then they're like, okay, Steve Senior. And he's like, no, I prefer Big Steve.
Yeah, that's why, like, all the Vikings names, like, really make me laugh, right? Like, you know, Ragnar Lothbrok's son. Like, it's just like in Leif Erikson's son.
Yeah. You know, if I'm Steve Senior, I'm Steve Senior. I'm one of the most, apparently one of the most promising front office candidates in the world, you know? Yeah. And so why would I want to go work for Rob Pelinka when I could potentially have Rob Pelinka's job?
Right. You know, and look, like, it wasn't that long ago, Harrison, that after Magic stepped aside, there were very reputable front office folks who were lining up for the opportunity to step into Magic's old job. And even back then, Jeannie was like, she took meetings and lunches and stuff like that from what I've heard. But at the end of the day, she was like, no, Rob's my guy. And I think, and this is the part of it that, like, I was getting at.
Well, and then since then, those GMs have gotten to see like up close. It's like Magic, you know, let's just say not exactly a master politician. You know, based on the way that he carried himself, like, he was pretty it would have been easy if you were like Masai Ujiri, you know, at that time, to say like, okay, yeah, like, Rob stabbed him in the back, but also it seems like he was really bad at his job, and like, you know, that some of that is like Rob is like doing the right thing for the organization. But now that you've gotten a couple years to see, it's like everybody, sort of basically everybody that comes through here, you know, eventually gets, you know, shanked. Because it's like, well, you did the Rust trade. You did this. You did that. It's like, at some point, it's like, okay, like, yeah, I don't necessarily want to work with this guy because I know that he's really good at blaming when things go wrong on other people.
And more importantly, his boss believes him every time.
Yeah.
You know, and like, that's the part of this, like, watching this all play out with the Lakers and LeBron and Clutch, and given where that relationship currently sits and the erosion of that relationship after the Russell Westbrook trade, like, watching that tape, like, if I'm anybody who pays any amount of attention around the league, and I'm you know, looking at the Lakers as a place that might one day become an employment opportunity, I'm looking at that and I'm like, wait, Baxter reported what? Wait, Jeannie actually thinks that she is the savior of the Lakers and not wait, what? You know, and I
love the idea of Rob just in her ear. He's like, you know, you should be getting more credit for this. It's kind of crazy how much they're giving LeBron, right?
Yeah, right. Like that Lord of the Rings.
Do they not understand that you're the one who empowers all of us to have success? And she's like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah, it is National Women's Day.
LeBron did wish her a happy International Women's Day. Okay. We can't, you know, Le Feminist, you know, was properly respecting Jeannie at that point.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. We'll put a bow on this one here by just saying, like, look, at the end of the day, I hope that this works out for Rohan. I have heard a whole bunch of really good things about Rohan, and there is plenty of reason to believe that this is going to work out. I just think also there are these nagging questions, and I happen to have a podcast, and I asked you guys those nagging questions.
It's like,
yeah. Well, we should shout out listener Narav, who did some like, I don't know if you want your last name out there on the air, so I'm not going to use it. But thank you for the long email that you sent to Anthony and I, revealing that this guy is a former SB Nation blogger. Rohan is that it, and that wrote about the actually then the Hornets. It was for At the Hive. So when they were still the Hornets, he was writing about the New Orleans Hornets, and eventually got hired by said New Orleans Hornets as like a consultant, and then worked his way up through the ranks. But also at one point was an SB Nation blogger, doing like national blogs for the team. And so we actually can say now that, you know, you've been asking this question all year about LeBron and like, is there anybody with the Lakers who like actually wants him back? Like, is there anyone that's going to indicate that they want LeBron back? And Rohan might be that guy. He wrote in 2011, a headline, "In Ripping LeBron James, Magic Johnson Ignores His Own History," about how Magic can't criticize LeBron for coming up short in the clutch, because Magic also came up short in the clutch in his career.
He did.
And so, you know, there might finally be a LeBron stan infiltrating the ranks that's ready to be like, hey, you know, this guy's like the best player in NBA history. Maybe we should be trying to keep him.
I hope so.
My analytics models are saying LeBron for $25 million a year is actually like one of the best value contracts in the world. And Rob's like, yeah, God damn it. Shit. Like, I can't.
I do want to say, like, while we're on, like, you're kind of joking. That's the best email. I was thinking about, I replied to.
It's definitely the best listener. With all due respect to all other previous listener emails, this was like 4,000 words, essentially kind of doxing this guy, but that like in like a lighthearted way, you know, and it was like you and I were joking. It's more work than we have put into a pod, like maybe ever.
Yeah. It was well written. It was incredibly well reported. It was like, it was funny. It was all of these things. So Narav, thank you very much for that email. That was incredible. Like, that's the bar.
It included a photo of the new Lakers assistant GM next to a person in a Kobe jersey. While he is wearing a New Orleans Chris Paul Hornets jersey. Incredible.
Yeah.
With a Hornets hat. He was full kit. He had the whole thing on. I assume he was wearing Hornets shorts and Chris Paul shoes.
He just showed up ready to play.
Yeah.
Put me in, coach.
I'm glad that it's someone like they're bringing in someone who's like a real basketball sicko. Like, if you're hiring a basketball blogger, like a guy who was doing this for, you know, I'll tell you, like at the time, the rates that SB Nation was paying as somebody who was there around the same time, I know Rohan was not making that much.
For the love of the game.
He's really into this stuff. And like, I can respect that at least. And like, I'm always rooting for blog boys to succeed in the NBA landscape. Like, I hope he runs the team someday.
There are people like that Shamit Dua said that who's a Pelicans insider who I think he's at Fear the Brown.
Yeah.
He said that he thinks that this guy is eventually going to run a team someday. So like, there's plenty of people like, you know, whether it be Shamit who's saying it very publicly or people kind of behind the scenes who are saying it privately, just, you know, seeing this guy's praises, hard worker, creative thinker, really at the forefront of you know, analytical thinking and stuff like that, which is always evolving. This is somebody who I think the Lakers are like, just by filling the position, Harrison, that's a big addition, right? Like, just by like literally having somebody in this position, by having this position at all, is a big win here for the Lakers. But I also think that the process at arriving here, you know, kind of told us some unfortunate truths about like the Lakers organization while Jeannie Buss is still calling the shots.
And people have succeeded against, like they have swam upstream and succeeded before, but it does mean that, you know, that stream's there. It's going to be, he's going to be sort of, even no matter how great he is, he's going to be working with a little bit of a weighted vest.
Well, like, here's the question I'll present to you, right? Or like, a hypothetical that so one of the people who have been involved heavily in this interview process has been Kurt Rambis. He is like this, like, out, you know, he's kind of a consultant in the senior position who is, I think, like, eventually going to be phased out. But like, is he interested in being phased out? Like, when they start interviewing for some of these other positions.
If I got an $8 million bonus, there is no job in the world that I would want to continue working. Like, I'm sorry, Kurt, you've done all right for yourself. Like, it's time. It's time, buddy.
Yeah.
Like,
well, plus like the eight and the $24 million bonus that his wife got.
Well, that's right? Linda's, like, you know, that's Linda's money. I'm sure that, I like to imagine they both keep their own books, you know, and Linda keeps Kurt on a budget.
Wonder what some of Kurt Rambis's expenses are on the internet.
Yeah. Like, I appreciate, though, like, Shams giving someone anonymity to call Rohan a literal rocket scientist. A Pelican source called him a literal rocket. Like, literally, he is a rocket scientist. You did not need anonymity for that. Yeah. Like, he has a degree in rocket science.
Yeah, I will say, like, as somebody who dabbles in some of this stuff, people will just, like, even though that's a compliment, they don't want to be outed as somebody who talks to Shams. Like, that's why.
Yeah, I guess. But it's like, I mean, you already have in the story that he has his, like, rocket science. Like, we don't. I don't know.
None of this makes very much sense in what you think about it. All right, let's wrap here on the Knicks advancing. They sweep the Cleveland Cavaliers in one of the least impressive performances a conference finals team has put forth that we got from the Cleveland Cavaliers.
James Harden, how bad a series has to go for them to have to leak the next day that they're not firing the coach who they just hired like last year. And it's taking, like, them a round further in the playoffs each time.
Donovan Mitchell, like, having to come out and immediately say, like, yeah, I really love it here.
Was Super the James love Harden, it here. Was him saying that they were, he still thinks they're the more talented team? Was that a real quote?
Yeah, I would probably say so. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I could see
James, because Harden, the Kenny Atkinson like one that from the day before, like, we were debating this in an SB Nation analytically team earlier today. Yeah, analytically, we've won two out of three. Like, that is an all-time bad quote for a coach.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, you even if
I don't think true, there's any coming back from that. I would have fired him for that quote. That. I would have fired him for that quote.
Even if it's true. Like, I don't know what their analytical models say. I hope Rohan's analytical
models. You need new models. Does your model take into account final score? Like, also, like, the thing, it's no like matter what, the, Kenny Atkinson.
You can't talk about the shot quality and analytically we've won this, whatever, after you lose. You can talk about it after you win.
JJ Redick did it too, and I was like, God dang it, that he might be.
I roll my eyes every time. It's like, yeah, but they play the games.
Yeah. Well, and
it's like Anthony and I's job to talk about analytically, here's the nuance here, whatever. Like, it's not your job. You don't, you should not be saying this. Like, that's a cope.
Even if Atkinson wins a championship, the post is gonna be, wow, look how far he came. It's going to involve that quote. That's going,
I mean,
to be
analytically,
forever tied to
him. He's won two titles.
Well, then he was also saying that, like, you know, because they lost game sixes, that was potentially part of the reason that they, or because the other series,
buddy, you
longer.
Lost the game sixes. There's no one to blame for that but you.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know.
I just think if we, like, hadn't been so tired from not taking our earlier series seriously, like, maybe we could have won, but who knows? You know, we'll never know. Analytically, I would think we could have won.
Well, and then you have, like, Donovan Mitchell out there saying that, like, James Harden belongs in the conversation with some of the greatest who have ever played the game. And he says, like, the fact that he isn't is just because of rings culture. It's like, Donovan, the point is to win. The point isn't to accumulate stats. The point is to win. You know, like, you guys didn't win because James Harden is a loser. Everybody knew how your season was going to go because James Harden is the greatest loser in the history of maybe all professional sports.
I I don't know if I would go that far, but I would say that, like, James Harden, you know, he's not wrong about that James Harden should be discussed among the greats. I just think that we can put to bed the idea that he is, like, greater than, you know, these guys who are, like, on the Mount Rushmore, Pantheon, whatever. Like, he's clearly one of the greatest regular season floor raisers we've ever seen. Ceiling raiser, we have yet to see that. And I think we're probably not going to at this point. He's 36. Like, I think the book is probably written on that.
I mean, the fact that he got there and then, like, Donovan Mitchell's usage rate just absolutely plummeted, you know, because it becomes James Harden ball.
Did you say, I don't know if you saw, I saw the post or have thought about this at all, but the new lottery reform, like, James Harden is always going to get the bag. Like, that is inevitable because the new lottery reforms potentially set him up for, like, those team, the bad teams with cap space. If they want to get the slightly higher draft odds by being mid, what do? You sign James Harden to a big contract to come in and raise your floor in the regular. It's like, hey,
he's gonna play till he's 63,
baby.
Yeah, he's gonna play till he's 63 because he's good enough at getting teams to there.
Yeah,
right there.
Unironically, I feel like he could. If something doesn't change to improve the regular season product, like, I feel like James Harden at, like, 40 could be doing, like, the regular season version of what LeBron just did in the playoffs, where it's like he's just so smart. And, like, he's so good at, like, making plays on autopilot.
On any given Wednesday, like, in Orlando.
Yeah, like, on any given Wednesday in Orlando, you know, James Harden could still dish, like, 20 assists in a regular season game, you know, at, like, 45.
And then hop on a flight to Atlanta.
Yeah. That's his reward. He gets to go on a flight to Atlanta. You play him once a week, and he gets a flight to Atlanta every single time, every time you win, you know?
So the Cavs lose that series, and apparently they are not firing Kenny Atkinson. They are apparently not blowing it up, even though there has never been a clearer blow it up team than this Cavs team. Apparently they're going to be running a lot of this back, and they, by the way, are this team that they're probably the team that is most frequently brought up as a LeBron suitor, a possibility for LeBron if he does leave the Lakers. And I'm sitting here saying, like, if what LeBron said on his show are his top two priorities, being somewhere that his family actually wants to be and winning at the highest level, I just don't see a world where that dude goes and plays in Cleveland. And apparently Windhorst is out there is also reporting that LeBron would not take a huge pay cut to go to the Cavs either, which really limits whether or not he could actually go to the Cavs. So,
well, I don't know. I mean, also, that is what LeBron has to posture right now as well. Like, you know, he can't just be like the opposite would never come out. LeBron can't leak right now while he's still trying to get, like, a reasonable payday from the Lakers. Like, yeah, but I'd take the minimum in Cleveland.
The problem is he has no choice.
Well, he may not have a choice. And so it's like that, you know, that wall may be coming for him, but that reality has not set in yet. Clearly, you know, he was talking about, like, you know, I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to, you know, I don't know if everybody's going to wait. Like,
ask Kevin Durant, man. Ask Chris Paul, like, how the league treats you when it's kind of sort of moved on.
Well, LeBron's still better than those guys, but
a lot better. A lot better. No, I grant that it's not an apples to apples situation, but, like, you only have as much leverage as you actually have. And
I'm disappointed we haven't gotten a leak from, like, teams KD would play for yet. You know, like, I want to hear what Kevin Durant thinks. Like, what does he think is, like, the next chapter in his career? You know?
Ooh.
He definitely, like, wants them to blow it up and trade for Kyrie, right? Like, free him from the Mavs, run it back.
I think Kevin Durant is, like, if you really, really think about his career and his presence and, like, everything about, like, everything that we kind of sort of know about Kevin Durant to the extent that we know about Kevin Durant. Isn't he a Clipper?
That's a good point.
Like, isn't that guy, doesn't he just scream Clipper?
I feel like he surpasses Paul George as like, no, I don't know if you can ever take that crown from Paul George.
No,
like,
Paul George is the Clipper.
Paul George is the like Mr. Clipper. But like KD when Paul is George on that Mount up, Rushmore, probably as like
he could be, like, he should replace Chuck the Condor as like, their like hard.
Yeah.
Or like he should wear the Chuck the Condor suit after Paul George retires. Like he's just that much of a Clipper.
Yeah, I think Paul George, like you got to put the jersey up there if you're the Clippers. Like that's the most Clipper player to ever play for you.
No, Paul George is going to hang his Clippers jersey. Like that's the most Clippers thing that a Clipper would do.
Yeah, Paul George goes into the Hall of Fame as a Clipper. He's had like all these other memorable like runs elsewhere. That were like,
is arguably he a Hall of Famer? Serious. Paul George?
Paul George will make the Hall of Fame. Yeah. People like the bar for entry in the NBA is not as high as people think it is. Paul George is going to make the Hall of Fame.
But normally it involves like being good in college, and he wasn't very good in college.
Well, I mean, he did play for Fresno State, in fairness. I'm not sure like how. What was he going to do?
I'm not going to lie. Part of the reason I don't like Paul George is because he played for Fresno State.
I think he was genuinely like under recruited, probably. Like he was a guy that like it sounds like it probably was just like overlooked and missed.
No, you know what school he was choosing between?
No.
One of the schools he was choosing between?
Was it Cal State Fullerton?
Our alma mater. Like he was like
never mind. Fuck you, Paul George. Never, yeah. You could have. Clippers don't retire. The whole Anthony cut the whole last segment. Paul George is not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it was like Fresno. I think Long Beach State was one of them, and like Cal State Fullerton was one of the schools.
I really didn't really consider like I could like sort of because I don't hate Paul George, but like you know sort of have like I didn't think I could have more of a distaste for Paul George.
He would have been at Cal State Fullerton when I was there. Like, yeah, I would have been able to go.
You would have been.
There's
a
world, Harrison, where I could have played against Paul George in that rec center.
There's a world where you could be his white guy co-host on Podcast P. You know?
No, I don't think I'm too sarcastic. Like the most important character, like character trait that those white dudes have is like they just say yes and they just agree with everything that the NBA and I am not you know that I'm not good
no somebody needs to lean into it though. Somebody needs to do like a player pod with like a really angry team site blogger, you know. That will be the first like really financially successful and lucrative player podcast.
Yeah, like one where the you know the nerd you know occasionally tells jokes.
Yeah, like it's like Draymond Green and that like psychotic Warriors YouTuber whose like name I'm forgetting right now that like thinks that Steve Kerr is the Antichrist.
Oh god. Sheridan Hoops guy.
Yeah. I would love that. Draymond would fight in the studio like every week.
Actually fight. You're right. I would watch that. I think I would tune in.
Yeah.
All right.
Hosting a pod with Vando where he just like they have to stop the episode every week because he's threatening you for the way you talked about him, you know.
there was
I'd say with Dalton Connect, but Sheridan, he wouldn't get the jokes. Like you'd be making the jokes about like his intel and like it would just totally go over his head.
So mean. I was like,
you're like doing some like dry sarcastic bit, and he's like, yeah, man, it is kind of like that.
It do be like that.
You and Bronny James.
Yeah. Somebody would like some. After like the show or the comment section, I'm like, Dalton, he's making fun of you. all right. This was a fun, meandering, wandering episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. Subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Use that promo code HMA on Prize Picks and set up an account and make a $5 lineup to get $50 worth of free lineups. Again, there on Prize Picks. And Harrison, anything that you want to plug on your way out?
Yeah, the SB Nation archives for Rohan. I'm not sure how you pronounce this, like, burner last name that he used. I believe it's a soccer player Cruyff. Reference, but Cruyff, is that it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Rohan Cruyff, who we are pretty sure is the new Lakers assistant GM. Yeah, just check out his SBNation.com archives, because he actually, like, wrote some national stuff for SBN, which is sort of amazing for, like, I would have thought, like, profile wise, like, rocket scientist, I would have assumed he was, like, a really, really, like, he was writing, like, the deep dive analytical stuff and, like, nothing else. But, like, he has some, you know, like, he has Carmelo Anthony trade rumors highlight Lakers' uneasy faith and Andrew Bynum. You know, he's got some, like, he's got some real, like, slop aggregation going on here. I like this guy. I want him to do well.
I do too. I do
like,
too.
He was in the blog mines with us. Like, I'm rooting for this guy.
There's, like, a few of us out there, right? Like, isn't there, like, I think the in the Wizards organization, there's another former blog boy.
Mark Schindler, I know, is, like, I believe, like, assistant GM with the Toronto Tempo, who's, like, former Indy Cornrows guy. But, yeah, the blog, there's a lot of blog people in, like, basketball that, you know, they had smart enough takes to get hired by a team. I'm not holding my breath for you or I to get one of those jobs, but, like, it is a pathway that exists for, like, the draft Twitter, like, people and stuff like that, like, the people who are actually, like, digging into real insight on the guys, you know, like, you know, who can't dribble left and you know, they're building their models about,
well, I can dribble left, I happen to be left-handed, but I can dribble left.
I'm saying the people who evaluate which players, you know, it's like, they're the ones that catch that LeBron was looking at his hand every single time before he shot threes, and, like, add that and, like, get that on a team scouting report and then get offered to, like, work for a team and watch film for them.
Cole Zwicker. I don't know if you remember him, but he works in the Rockets, I think VP of basketball ops.
Yeah. But it's like, I mean, I'm sure it does seem like he's high up there, but also, like, you can't tell how much power anyone actually has anymore based on their title, because
everybody's titles are very impressive.
Everybody's a vice president now.
Yeah. Yeah. Not Rob. Not Robbie P.
That's why I am the associate director of SB Nation, a title that implies that I have much more power than I actually have.
Well, I'm senior Lakers insider and lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Steve, even though there are people who create way better stuff for Offside than I do.
Yeah. So. Well, hey, they should have negotiated harder.
All right, everybody, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys with a mailbag tomorrow.